time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Today we have Tara Teresa Hill, who is the author of The Spirit Hour, Volume 1. Since childhood, Tara has been fascinated by ghosts, hauntings, and the afterlife. Her stories are based on personal reflections of her beliefs, what the afterlife might be. Her writings are on what if you broke down the barriers between the living and the dead, and the spirits and the humans were able to communicate with each other. The Spirit Hour is Tara Teresa Hill's first collection of ghost stories. These spirits of the dead are fully developed characters with their own personalities. Tara also has a blog, hauntedwriter.com. For Tara's older blogs, you can go to ghostpost.com. Again, all these links will be at the bottom of this podcast, and I encourage you to go check out Tara's links. Tara's book will be available on Amazon, and it is really an excellent read. So right after this brief message, we'll be back with my conversation with Tara Teresa Hill.
What is it about the unknown that fascinates us so much? Is it for the thrill of it all? Or do we seek proof of life after death? Whatever our reason may be, we find ourselves being drawn in by these places and the bone-chilling tales that they have to offer. Tortured souls cross boundaries to reach out with stories that they want to share with us. There are times we simply hear the echoes of a memory on loop. The question that remains is this: are you open-minded enough to handle it? Dive into the paranormal with DC O'Rourke, your personal guide, as we traverse the globe to dissect haunted places in each and every episode of Hauntingly Yours, a podcast for the paranormal, where the spirits are always waiting.
Today we have Tara Teresa Hill, author of The Spirit Hour, Volume 1. How you doing today, Tara?
I'm doing well, Al. How are you?
I'm doing really good. With your new book coming out, and we'll get to that shortly. What led you to, the Spirit Hour? I'm taking it as paranormal.
Yeah, well, it's paranormal fantasy, really. It's paranormal fantasy. I'm thinking it's not specifically like a lot of paranormal fantasy has to do with angels and demons and fighting to save the world kind of thing. My stories focus more on individual characters and their relationships. It's not like an epic style fantasy. It's more like the individual characters and how they get along and why one might see a ghost and why one doesn't. Because sometimes they are the ghosts. Sometimes my characters are the ghosts, the main character, and sometimes they're not. So it depends on which story you're reading in the book.
And how many stories are in the book?
There are five. It's just a short anthology of those stories. So there are five, but for the five stories, it's still pretty long. Cause it's 104 pages, the paperback.
And what led you into writing your book?
Well, I wanted to give people a taste of my writing as I'm working on longer projects. But I wanted to, practice writing short stories too. And I really, I love short stories as a medium. I mean, they're a lot of fun to read. They're a lot of fun to write. But one reason why I did a book version is because something that I've run into a problem, well, not a problem, but a difficulty with is I kind of have a hard time narrowing down like a certain limit of words. And a lot of times when you look to submit stories to places, they want like 1,000 to 3,000 words. And some of my stories, like, you know, I'm comfortably sitting at 5,000 words or more, you know?
Yeah. Is this your first book?
This is my first, this is my first ghost story collection.
Yeah, because I see you have another book out. What Can You Do With Two Mommies?
Oh, my God. Yeah, that was something I wrote in college, actually. Yeah, that was a nice story to write, too. That was a project from college. And then I said, let me just turn it. My teacher said it really sounds like it would make a good children's book. So I put it together as a children's book. And but I don't really want to focus on being a children's author. So I was like, but, you know, yeah, it's still out there technically. So,
yeah, so it's a big jump from a children's book to more of a paranormal book. But have you had any paranormal experiences in your background?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've had a bunch of them. I won't say like I've had like hundreds because I haven't, but I've had a bunch of them that were really, I felt really impactful, especially when I was living in my college, because my college is was built in the 1800s. And it, I mean, it's older than that. The campus is older than that, but the college itself was founded in the 1800s. And the oldest building was from like the late 1800s. And that place was definitely haunted. Yeah. I had a bunch of experiences at college where I saw like physical, you know, full apparitions. So that was pretty intense. You want me to tell you one of them?
Sure. Sure. Yeah. It'd be great.
Okay. This one kind of took place over 2 days. I was going to be a junior, so I was going into my junior year, and I was an orientation leader, which meant I was back at the college before most other people were. It's a college, Mount St. Vincent, by the way, in Riverdale, New York. So that was the year that I got a chance to live in the oldest building on campus, like the oldest dorm on campus. It's called Merrillac Hall. And as I said, it was built like in the 1800s, and a beautiful stone house had, you know, separate wings. It actually had wings to the house. I mean, it was gorgeous, but it was 100% haunted. And I remember feeling apprehensive going there because I had already heard all these like stories from other students. And I said to myself, you know, you're really going to go do this. You're going to live there all year. I said, well, I'm not going to skip on the chance though, you know.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to skip the chance to live in this building. So I did it, and I really do love it. But the very first day we move in, my boyfriend at the time, is now my husband, but at the time we were dating, helped me move in and get settled. And my mom came in and helped me as well. My boyfriend and I were standing in the kitchen. There was a kitchen in, like, I think it was the second story of the house. And it was a weird shape because it kind of led on to the stairs. There were like these stairs that went through the wings, and the kitchen was off of the stairs. So I suddenly hear a female voice calling my name, saying, "Tara, where are you?" And I thought it was my mom. I had told her to stay upstairs in my room because I said, "You're going to get lost trying to, you know, figure out this this building, this new building." And I answer her, but the voice just disappears. And I'm like, okay, you know, if it was my mom, she would have come downstairs into the kitchen or said, "Oh, okay," or something, nothing. So I go upstairs and I say to her, "Did you call me?" And she says, "No, I've been up here, you know, sweeping the floor and everything." And I said, "Okay." Cause cause George, that's my husband, I said, "George and I both heard you." And she said, "Oh, well, wasn't me." And my mom is not one to play a joke like that. Like, she would have told me it was her. So I said, "All right, that was weird." And I kind of put it off and said, "Well, that's all right. Just maybe an odd circumstance, whatever, but we both heard my name." So I go to sleep, and I got to tell you, in the room that I was in, I was on the top floor of one of the wings, which was almost like an attic kind of thing. It was more separated from the rest of the building. So you actually had to go up another additional staircase. So I'm on the top floor by like the treetops.
Mm-hmm.
And because I'm the orientation leader and no one else has moved in yet, I'm on an empty floor. And all night I'm hearing like doors opening and closing. And I'm like, that's the wind, you know, but I am hearing doors swinging back and forth. And the next morning I wake up and I gather my stuff. It's really early. And I say, I'm going to go shower, you know, and get everything together. And I'm walking down the stairs and there's a person in front of me. There's another girl in front of me and she's going down the stairs really slow. And I'm saying to myself, okay, but could she go any faster? I'm getting really like a little annoyed, but I'm also kind of still like, you know, I got my glasses on. I have glasses. So had my glasses on. I could see fine. I had my caddy and I'm just walking. And as I'm looking at this person in front of me, and I'm particularly interested in her dress robe, because I said, well, that's an interesting old fashioned robe kind of look she has on. And then she turns and I see that she looks up at me and I'm like, wait a minute. That's interesting because I saw she had her hair pulled back high and like a bun. And she had this like this dress that the more I looked at it, the more I could see it was a dark brown. It had some designs on it. I could see everything. I just went, huh. And she looked right at me and continued going down the stairs. Down the stairs made no sense because underneath us lived the nuns. We had like Sisters of Charity, and they lived, some of them lived in the hall downstairs. So it made no sense to keep going down. There was nowhere else to go. So I thought that was funny. And I get into the bathroom and then I guess I kind of more woke up and I said, wait a minute, who was that? You were up there alone, remember? And so now I'm thinking I saw a ghost and not just a wisp, a full three-dimensional figure walking down the stairs in front of me.
Now, have you ever mentioned like that to the nuns lived in the bottom? You ever mentioned that to them?
I don't think I did, actually. I think I mentioned it to students. I mentioned it to the security guard. The sisters would have just said, oh, it's not a big deal. So it's this, they either would have thought I imagined it, or if they did believe me, they would have said, oh, so what? Wave hello. Probably a former student.
Well, I've seen that on your looking, you know, for your book. It says you're fascinated with ghosts and hauntings and the afterlife in your book. And I don't want to give it away, but you kind of connect the afterlife with the living. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I really feel that they're all around us all the time, whether we can see them or not. And I believe they come in between the afterlife, like the spirit world, the spirit realm, and our realm. And I believe that if they're not attached, like if they're not, quote, haunting someplace, then they're able to go back and forth between the realms. Actually, that's what I think is the real difference between a spirit and a ghost. I feel like even though I mean, obviously I sell it as ghost stories, because as I said, it's like, you know, I'm not going to say spirit stories because people don't, they're going to say, what, you mean ghost stories? I'm like, yeah. But to me, the difference between a spirit and a ghost is a ghost is a soul who's trapped for some reason, whatever reason that may be. They're trapped on the earthly plane. And I feel like a spirit is someone, you know, might be like say, like an ancestor, or even if you don't know them, but just someone who can go back and forth. So they can go up to the spirit, you know, when I say up, but they could go to the spirit world, or they could come here and they go back and forth easily.
To me, the ghost is more of a bodily figure that I've seen. It's like I've seen the young girl in the house we lived in.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, you know, dealing with that years later and with this podcast and everybody I get to talk to, like yourself and your stories, you know, and your connection to them. It's not just in Ohio or New Jersey, or, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, totally.
I am fascinated with the afterlife and with some of the shows I've had on before. Do you believe in like you're contacted with like a phantom phone call from the dead?
And do I believe that can happen?
Yeah.
I mean, I've personally never experienced that, but I have heard of people experience that. And I have had one weird experience, but that wasn't a phone call from the dead. But I did have one time I had a phone call on my phone. This was back, you're talking like early 2000s, though. So I was in college. I had a phone call, a missed call on my phone. It said, you have a voice message. And I thought that was so weird because I said, well, no, I didn't think that was weird at the time. I said, but it wasn't really registering who it was, you know? And so I played it. And when I played it, it was just a song. And then the song ended and then it was a radio. And I just thought that was so weird that my phone came through with that my message on my phone was just a song from the radio when I obviously hadn't called the radio. And I thought that was weird. And it's one of my favorite songs. Josh Groban's You Raise Me Up.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
So I don't know how my phone did that. And again, I don't know. I don't think that was paranormal. I laid that more towards technology being weird also may be spiritual, but I thought it was just amazing that it did that. That was the song.
Well, I've seen that on your talking about the afterlife. They're not here to harm anybody. They're here to help people out, right?
I kind of have this theory that it's half and half. Like, I believe that most spirits mean no harm. I mean, and I even think there are a lot of spirits that help us, our ancestral spirits, spirit guides, you know. But just as, like, there are good people, I think, yeah, sure, there could be bad spirits, but I don't think they have the kind of power that we tend to attribute to them.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, you see all these, and I'm not saying that it's not interesting for literature, you know, because obviously, like, you need a bad guy, you make a demon character or something like that, or a bad ghost. But what I'm saying is, I would think if it was real, we would have more of a problem.
Do you believe that you can move a spirit on?
I believe you can encourage them to go, but I think we all still have free will, you know.
Is it more of a dormitory we was in, or?
It was a dorm.
In your dorm, did your boyfriend, did he witness this also?
He heard my name called, but no, he didn't see the spirit. It was just me in the morning when I just woke up. And, but he had his own odd experiences. He doesn't tend to, actually he blames me. Whenever he does see a spirit, it's with me. And he says, it's you. Yeah, that's what he says. That's what he's, when we've had experiences together where we've seen something or heard something, he's like, it's you. If you weren't here, I wouldn't experience this.
I was just curious, you know, because sometimes you can be in the same room and you hear something or see something, yet your significant other doesn't, you know, so it's what I'm saying. Sometimes they pick who they want to be with.
I think it's that. I think it's also, it depends on the, you know, the person's abilities. I mean, I remember reading a book, I think it was by Hans Holzer, and he was a famous paranormal investigative reporter. And he talked about one, you'll have a spirit appear, like, you know, you'll have a spirit interaction. And he said, you'll have one person see it, one person hear it, one person might smell them or pick up on them in some other way. And then you'll have another person who will say, I don't know what you guys are talking about. You're all, you know, you're imagining it. So he said it was very hard because it's rare for there to be a shared paranormal activity or shared experience, paranormal experience.
I was really interested in the afterlife. So is that just, did that theory run through the other five stories, or is it just in one story?
Well, the stories are all, I mean, they're all a bit different, but I mean, what I tend to do is I pair up usually if I'm like the first one is from the first person. I tend to write in the first person perspective, but in some cases I don't want to give them away, but in some cases it's the spirit telling the story. And in other cases, it's the human telling the story about what it's like to interact with the spirit. So then you'll get the first person, but it's from the spirit, you know, either it'll be from the spirit's point of view or it'll be the first person as, you know, the character is just suddenly interacting with a spirit or a ghost and wonders why, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, based on their relationship, it might be like, I have a romance one, for example, called Haunted Hearts, which is about after a woman's best friend dies a tragic death, he basically starts appearing to her and she wonders, am I going crazy? And then she realizes that she's not, and he's really kind of, quote, haunting her. But it's not a bad haunting, it's a good haunting. You know, that's part of the problem of being a writer, you know. We think great on paper, but making us do, like, you know, when I have to do an interview or talk, I'm like, that.
The last author I just talked to, she says she, as she's writing the book, she's the story's constantly changing, you know, so her mind's constantly working, you know, so.
Yeah, it's difficult being a writer, I'll tell you that. I'm writing something like that right now where I change one thing and then it's like, oh, you got to change this. Remember to change this part in another story. And, you know, I mean, in the other part of the story and everything. And I'm like, oh my God, why did I touch it?
Yeah. Well, yeah, you're talking about the stories not alike.
Yeah. Well, in this book, The Spirit Hour that I wrote, there are two types of stories. It's either from the spirit's point of view. And I'm not going to tell you which one, because I really don't want to just say, oh, this one's about the spirit talking. Or it will be about the spirit and the human, you know, the living character interacting. And usually it will be from the living character's point of view. So in one of the stories I wrote called Haunted Hearts, it's about this young woman whose best friend dies tragically. And she finds, you know, she starts having these visions and these, she starts having dreams and visions and things about him. And then she realizes that he's actually haunting her. That's not that she's imagining it, that he's actually haunting her. But it's a good haunting. It's not a bad haunting. It's more of a romance story, actually.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting. You know, it's because my last author was also romance / paranormal. So, is this like I see volume one. Now, is there going to be more volumes?
Yeah, there are going to be more volumes. You know, I have a lot of story ideas. I mean, I'm working on a novel too, but I'm a full length novel. I do have other story ideas I want to write. And I'm going to probably put them into different volumes. I might do them. This was just like a selection of different stories. I might actually try to do more of thematic stories next time. Like, you know, here's a bunch of romances. Here's a bunch of scary ones. This one kind of is like, oh, whatever I thought was interesting. So they're a little bit different. You have a horror story in there. Like you have a sci-fi. I wrote a sci-fi paranormal horror story, and that's The Reawakening.
Awesome. I can't wait to get your book. It's on my order list. So do you go through a publisher or you do this yourself?
Well, currently with this first book, it's self-published. I mean, I'm not opposed to the idea of finding a publisher, you know, but getting an agent is a long, arduous process. So mm-hmm. It takes a while to find one.
Yeah, I'm always curious, you know, on my authors that's on the show, whether you self-publish or, you know, because it can go either way. I mean, there's pros and cons for both.
Yeah, I'd love to do both personally, because I think like some, you know, some cases it might be better to self-publish and some cases it might be better to do, you know, traditional publishing. I mean, certainly would love that to happen. Like, here, you got a book deal. Fantastic.
So what's your next book? You said you're writing a novel. What's that based on?
Well, I don't really want to give too much of that one away. I mean, it's going to be a different kind of ghost story than from what I've seen out there, really. It's going to be more of an epic kind of ghost story. That's really all I want to say about it. It's really in the fermenting process and everything. And
it's always good to keep promoting and doing book signings and whatever you can promote yourself, you know, and I'm going to try my best to get you listened to by a few people.
I had plans to do conventions and things, and then, you know, the pandemic happened, so.
Oh, yeah, this pandemic is, that's what my last author said, you know, it just puts a damper on things. It's hard to do a book signing when everybody's trying to talk to you and their mask on, you can't hear them, and social distance, so you're crowd's not like it would be. And
oh, I haven't yet. I'm not even brave enough to try it, honestly. I'm like, nope, we'll wait till it's over.
Right.
I really think it's a good idea to think deeply about the afterlife, or at least to wonder about it. I'm not saying, because obviously I don't believe that any of us really have all the answers, you know, whether people have had paranormal experience or not. I just feel that it's a good idea to keep in mind, because I like to feel that, I mean, I personally believe in reincarnation and everything. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things I bring to my stories, is I'm bringing my point of view and my perspective on spirits and the afterlife and paranormal. So, you know, in my own personal beliefs. And one of the things I believe is that if we know more and we're more open to the spiritual world, that they can help us more. You know, if we become more accepting to whatever guidance, or, you know, I'm talking about spirit guides and ancestral spirits who are helpful, like we can, you know, commune with them more and receive their help easier. And I think overall it helps us develop for whatever's coming next for us, whether that's another life or, you know, there could be reincarnation on other planets for all we know.
Right. I see you also have a blog, The Haunted Writer.
Yeah, that's my website. I'm working on the blog. I also, you know, that one was an interesting idea. I mean, I might run with it some more. It's an idea about a character. I want to write this story, and I know I will someday. I don't know if it's going to be a blog. I don't know if it's going to be a book, but my idea is about a writer who has their spirit guide, and they have like this friendship, you know? Mm-hmm. And one is always inspiring the other kind of thing. And, but the spirit guide's like, oh my God, how do I work with this person when they're, you know, they have X, Y, and Z going on with them. You know, like if someone has like, you know, take a cocky spirit guide who has a writer who doesn't believe in themselves or something like that, you know?
And you have the older blogs too, that on ghostpost.com, right?
Yeah, that was dedicated to talking about the paranormal and for like real life experiences. I I would interview people.
And you also have a paranormal hotspot. I mean, you're quite active. You know, I see on Facebook, Facebook group, the Paranormal Hotspot.
Yeah, that was that's basically a place where people can go to advertise their, people like you or like other people in the paranormal can just share their groups or share their podcasts and whatnot, you know, or their books. And I really make it broad paranormal. I'm like, you want to do Bigfoot? Go ahead. You want to do, you know, more towards fairies? That's fine. Anything with the fantasy is fine. Zombies is fine. You know, people can share and the reason why I did that is because Facebook makes it so hard to share things, you know, in other groups. If you're someone who's trying to sell,
right,
or promote, you know, like if you want to sell a book, and you're not allowed to post the book unless it's free. And I'm saying, what's the point of that? I mean, not everybody wants to give away their book for free, you know?
Right. You know, then you get into a problem with spamming when it's not, you're not really trying to spam anybody.
No, you're just trying to get the word out there. And it's, you know, on the one hand, social media helps. And on the other hand, it makes it very difficult.
I see also on Facebook, you have the Tara Teresa Hill Ghost Story Writer and Author.
Yep, that's my author page. And I mean, I put all the links on the website, the Haunted Writer website. I put that up, thehauntedwriter.com.
And I will put all these links on the bottom of the episode so people can go find you and check out your book and all the things you have to offer.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate that. It is definitely, it's a challenge getting the word out there and, you know, letting people know what you're about. And I know I could probably be so much better at like going online. It's just, sometimes I don't know what to talk about. I'm like, here's a, you know, like it's just the weirdest thing. I'm an introvert by nature. So the idea of like, you know, putting up something all the time and saying, here, look at this.
Right, right. When I saw this podcast, I'm thinking everybody thinks like I do and they don't, you know. So, you know, because, you know, the paranormal, like you were saying, it's a wide open field for Bigfoot, UFOs, spirits.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, it's like I said, yeah, it's a very big, you know, big, diverse field. And also, you know, there are things that I run into, yeah, that I don't believe in either. Like a lot of people really, and I'm not saying I don't believe in them at all, but I don't necessarily believe they're everywhere. Like I can't tell you how many times I've talked to people and they tell me about seeing something with red eyes,
mm-hmm,
or demons or something. Like every single spirit, every negative energy they meet, they're convinced is a demon. I'm like, I don't think it's a demon. Maybe a unhappy person, but I'm not going with demon here, you know. Or
right, you're 100% right, you know, because I would say probably 80% of the calls I went on were false. There's a lot of things that were explainable that proved it wasn't a demon or a spirit.
Yeah, and that's something to keep in mind too.
And I've only come across once where I actually had dealt with a demon, and I didn't do that because that's not my field. It's not my job to do an exorcism or take the chance on that.
That's another thing to keep in mind, too, that it's not always, sometimes there's a logical explanation and it's not paranormal at all. It's not spiritual at all. And I think people don't really, you know, we always want to think that it is. I think because we get excited by the idea that it's something else, something outside of our understanding of the world and everything. But then you just have a moment where it's like, nope, it's not actually a haunting. It's not.
Right. I appreciate you coming on the show today. And where can people find you and get a hold of you at?
I'm on Facebook as Tara Teresa Hill, Ghost Story Writer and Author. I'm on thehauntedwriter.com, thehauntedwriter, all one word, .com. I'm on Instagram as Tara Teresa Hill, Author. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Twitter, I'm on Facebook, I'm on Instagram. You know, I just, I do answer to email, I answer to messages. People have questions about the afterlife. You know, I do try to like, you know, more for theory or fun. Like if you want to talk to me about the afterlife or something like that, that's fun. But sometimes people come to me for asking for deep spiritual, like, or they'll say, can you, you know, cleanse my house? I'm like, no. I can't do that. I don't work with that. I do know people who I could try to refer you out to, but I don't really, like, I don't do that. I will not come bless someone's house or cleanse someone's house. That's not something I do either. This is all creative writing for me and fun and inspiration. It's not like I'm not a spiritual worker.
Yeah, well, I came across you on the internet and I thought, wow, you sounded interesting. And more dug into. Yeah, it's like, wow, it's very, very interesting, especially the afterlife and how your stories connect with that, with the living world. And it's been a pleasure having you on the show, and I look forward to more of your reads in the future.
All right. Thank you so much. And it's been a pleasure being here.
I want to thank Tara for being on the show today and sharing her insights of her writing and a look inside of her book, The Spirit Hour. And I encourage you to pick up the book and support Tara. Support all the independent and other authors I have had on this show and their books as well. I'm your host, Al Cooley, on Ghosts in the Valley.